See, the Jewish people coming to the Lord, rabbis coming to the Lord, Orthodox Jews are coming to the Lord. And it's amazing things are happening in Israel. God is just opening up the fountain of righteousness over Israel. And you can see the confusion in the political arena as well. You know why? Because the king is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming. And so he is the only one who can rule Israel. Amen. We are close to the time that he is going to come. So you're going to see increasing chaos. You're going to see increasing darkness in the world. You're going to see every prophetic fulfillment that needs to happen during this time, just before the return of the Lord Yeshua. You're going to see your seeing in front of your eyes. But I have a good news for you. You and me are on the winning side. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is what you need to focus on, not on any media hype that's trying to put our faith down. Every time I watch news, I have to fast for 3 days to raise up my faith. You know? So we got to look into the Word of God, which is the real information that you get. But you watch news so that you can pray intelligently. Amen? Hallelujah. So today is a very Shabbat, very important Shabbat. So I'm going to dive into the message quickly. Today is a very important Shabbat. This is the most important Shabbat of all Shabbats, I would say. Shabbat Shua, which is about repentance. Why this is so important? Because this Shabbat is most important because it brings the revelation, the understanding, the necessity of true repentance, and the need of blood sacrifice and the remedy. Hallelujah. So that is what this Shabbat is all about. Shabbat Shua is just giving us an idea of why repentance is important. I'm talking about true repentance. I'm not talking about superficial, emotional Christianity repentance. I'm talking about true repentance. Why we need to have true repentance? What is the remedy? Why is the need of the blood sacrifice? This Shabbat is all about that as we prepare for the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Amen? So, Day of Atonement is the most important day, as we all know. It always signifies a fresh start. A fresh start. For the land of Israel, for the nation of Israel, it's a fresh start when God clears all the sins. As they repent, the high priest goes in and seeks forgiveness. God just wipes his clean slate, and it's a fresh start for the whole nation of Israel. Amen? And also, it is a promise. This is a time of the promise of eternal life. Amen? So it's very important. So I want to pick up from the scripture, from this week's portion from prophets, Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. Micah chapter 7, verse 18 to 20. This is a portion of the prophets for this Shabbat. It's a very important insight into this scripture portion. Who's a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Hallelujah. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. Here's a very important portion of scripture. It's giving us insight into three important words. In verse 18, it says, who's God like you pardoning iniquity? Underline iniquity. And then it goes on to say, he does not retain his anger, and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. Underline transgression. Number one, iniquity. Number two, transgression. And then it moves on and goes to verse 19. It says, he will again have compassion on us and subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins. Underline sins. So the three different words, sins, iniquities, transgression. So we need to understand the difference between the three. Because in Christian circle, whether it is Messianic Christianity or regular Christianity, whatever you call, we more focus on sin, sin, sin. You repent for the sin, right? You repent for the sin. That's what we go. After that, we don't know beyond that. That's where most of us are in trouble. So there are three different words here, iniquity, transgression, and sin. So we need to have remedy for all the three. Amen? Praise God, we have the remedy. We all know that. Yeshua is the remedy. Hallelujah. But what is sin? What is iniquity? And what is transgression? If you don't understand this, you will not have victories in your life. Because some of the things we are facing is because of sin. Jesus said, do not sin anymore. Right? Some of the things we are facing is because of our transgressions. And some of the things we are facing is because of the iniquity. Okay? So what is sin? Of course, root cause of everything is sin. We know that. You know, it was interesting. One time I was listening to a message, it really came to my heart so deeply. These three definitions. Sin is the motives. The wrong motives that you have that results in the action. Jesus said, from the heart, right? From heart, everything happens. The motives. In your heart, everything begins. Jesus said it begins from your heart. So the motives, what are the motives? If you have wrong motives, it is a sin. Why are you meeting that person? Do you have a wrong motive or a good motive? Right? So the sin is all motives. What is the motive for you to come the Shabbat? What is the motive of you running a ministry? What is the motive of you having a relationship with somebody? So the motives results in sins. If your motives are wrong, if it is not really, you know, springing out of love, it's a sin. Then transgressions, are activities or actions against God's principles, against God's guidelines and instructions. Transgressions are activities, are actions. Simple as that, if you so active on Shabbat when you need to be resting, it's a transgression. Right? Some of the simple rules, very simple rules. Our God is a very simple God, down-to-earth God. He's not going to give us so much burden to carry. Amen. Yeshua said, my yoke is light. So very simple, just rest one day. That's all. Which is very, very difficult in America, as we all know, Western world. You know, we live both the places. You know, we live a few months in Israel, a few months here. It's very difficult. In Israel, Shabbat, everything shut down. Praise God. So you don't have any other choice. Glory to God. I'm telling you, my body shuts down, begins to shut down, slow down from Friday. 7 p.m. it starts, my body shuts down. Sunday at 7 p.m., my body is, Saturday at 7 p.m., my body is back again, ready to run. You know? So when we come to America, it's very different. You run 25 hours a day. You know, 8 days a week. So it is very difficult and different, right? So transgression is just not following God's principle and acting against it or actions. Those are transgressions. So you have to go and do a homework yourself, the motives and the activities. And when you are preparing your hearts for Day of Atonement, and for, you know, we don't need to be waiting for Day of Atonement. We do it every day. Praise God. Amen. So you have to go to the Lord and ask, Lord, what are the transgressions? What are the activities I've done? Right? Let me be very honest with you. I'm a minister of God. I conduct meetings in the different nations. I host meetings in Australia, here in Israel, and everywhere. What is my motive? Am I running the meetings to collect offerings? That's a wrong motive. That is a sin. And then if you go out and do it, that's a transgression. That's an action. Wow, that's two already there. And I'm just giving my example, right? Then goes to this iniquities. Iniquities are in the bloodline. Iniquities are in the bloodline. So you keep on doing the sins and, you know, it becomes a stronghold and you pass on from generation to generation until it is dealt with through the blood of Jesus. So iniquities are in the bloodline. So some of us, we are facing the problems. It's from generation to generation. So you need to take authority over the iniquities in your bloodline. Then you get a breakthrough. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. So sins, transgressions, and iniquities. All the three. So that is very important to understand. If you don't understand this principle, it's very difficult that you will be having successful Christian life. Though Jesus did it on the cross, we need to appropriate it. Amen. He did everything on the cross. We don't need to do anything from our side just to believe and work through the principles that God is showing us in the Word of God. Amen? Let's go to Leviticus 23. Let's look into Yom Kippur. Why Yom Kippur is very important. Of course, it'll be a full message on Yom Kippur service when you guys do it. I just wanted to give a little bit of touch on it so that we can go deeper into the message. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 26 to 29. That's the place where God instructed Moses how to do these things, the festivals. Amen. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also the 10th day of this month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from his people. See, we are talking about Yom Kippur, the regulations that governs it, and we call it in English, Day of Atonement. So Kippur, what is the root for Kippur? Kippur in Hebrew means atone. Atone. But the initial Hebrew word where it all began is from Kaporot. K-A-P-O-R-E-T. You remember the Ark of the Covenant? Can you show the picture of the Ark of the Covenant real quick? The Ark of the Covenant. If you know the Ark of the Covenant, there is a mercy seat. Right? So Kippurot, the covering. That covers the top. Below we see the Ten Commandments. And over see the mercy seat. The presence of God. So the covering over the top portion above the Ten Commandments that closes it is the Kaporut, the covering. Am I right, Shabbat? Yes, that's a covering. So that's where the root word came. Covering. It covers something. What is it covering? It covers something. So here in the Ark of the Covenant, you see what is there? Ten Commandments. That is the law, the Torah, right? What does it say? It gives you the instructions. It tells you what to do, what not to do. It tells you what you do might end up in a sin. It gives you all the instructions to how to live this life in the principles of God. So that's instructions is Torah. So the Torah is there since there are instructions. If you do this, you will sin. If you bow down to the idol, you are sinning. It's one of the commandments, right? So all these commandments in the Bible, in the Torah, is inside and it is telling, always telling, hey, you are doing this, you are sinning. You are doing this, you are sinning. You are doing this, you are sinning. So when it comes out, breaks out, everybody will be killed. You remember when David was taking the Ark of the Covenant from City of David to Jerusalem? The guy Uzzah touched it. Because no flesh can glory in the presence of God. So that's what it does. It tells you, okay, you're all sinning. Everybody's fallen short of his glory. That's what Bible tells. And what is this covering doing? It covers us from not breaking out. So that's a covering, Kippur, Kippureth. So let me read another portion of scripture again. let me read the scripture again for you. Leviticus 23, 26 to 29. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, also the 10th day of this month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on the same day, for it is the day of atonement. So that is the day, Yom Kippur, when you atone and do something on the mercy seat for the Lord to forgive our sins. That is the day of Yom Kippur. So what they do? Let's move on. What they do? The high priest, first of all, he kills a bull for himself and he repents for himself first. And then they select two goats, remember? One is for sin offering, one is for scapegoat. And the sin offering goat is killed and he brings the blood and sprinkles on the mercy seat. Let's go back to the mercy Ark of the Covenant, please. So he goes back and sprinkles the blood of that sin, the goat which is offered for sin offering on the mercy seat. And he repents for the whole of Israel. And he repents for the whole of Israel. Why do he do it? Why do he do the blood offering? Right? That's also in the regulation. Let's go to the next scripture, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. If you don't understand this process, you will never understand what Yeshua did for us. Think about this, otherwise your rabbi should be killing a goat today. You know, it's very interesting. Yesterday I learned the Orthodox Jews, you know. First of all, they reinvented the Judaism. As soon as the temple was destroyed, they don't know what to do. So they reinvented it. And it made everything, Yom Kippur is all about fasting, you know. Nothing to talk about blood. So that's a deception. So still, the Orthodox Jews, do you know what they do for men, women and children? That's what I learned yesterday. They take, for the men, they take cocks, you know, cock. And then they cut the cut the head and, you know. And for women, it's hen, right? I don't know what they do for children. Maybe chicken leg, I don't know what they do. But that's what they do still. Because they believe in the blood sacrifice. But they're not able to come to publicly, declare the blood was already shed because their eyes are closed. So what happens here? Luke chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil. Do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat before the mercy seat. So he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So that's what he does. So as soon as he goes, repents and sprinkles the blood of the goat, the Lord will forgive them. Here also you can see the two words coming again, transgressions and sins. When you let the sins and transgressions ruling your life, it'll result in iniquity. Did you see that? If you keep on letting the sin and transgressions to rule your life, it'll result in iniquity, not only in your life, it'll pass on to your generation. That's what we call generational curses. The Bible tells in Torah, it says that God inquires the iniquity of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Amen. But his mercy is for thousand generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is very important. That's the reason we need to understand why the Torah was first of all there. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 and 25. Why should we add the Torah? Without Torah, you will not know what is the sin. What is the transgression? Galatians chapter 3 verse 24. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So the law was there all the way, telling us if you do this, this will sin, but always leading us to what? Who? Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. That's what it does. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. We are no longer under a tutor. Why? Because Christ has already did it. Why should Jesus die? Why should the blood should be shed? Leviticus chapter 17 verse 11. Leviticus 17, 11. For the life of the flesh is on the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So we need a blood sacrifice to atone for our sins, transgressions and iniquities. So without blood, there is no repentance, no sacrifice, nothing. Amen? So that's the reason Jesus came. I want to read it out on NLT translation. For the life of the body is in its blood. I have given you the blood on the altar to purify you, make you right with the Lord. It is the blood given in exchange for life that makes purification possible. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for you and me. And Romans chapter 10 verse 4 says, Romans chapter 10 verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law. Finished. Amen. Christ was the end of the law because nobody could keep any portion of the Torah. All through the Bible, you have mention of two people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you know, accounted righteous during the generation. Or Abraham was, though he lied and does stuff, but still he was considered righteous because of his belief. Right? There was nobody who could keep up everything. So we need a Savior. So when Christ came, He did everything for us, and everything is done in Christ Jesus. You don't need to do anything. Even if you mess up, you can tell Lord Jesus, forgive me, and He stands for you by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? So that's what He did. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 14. I'm prepping up for the Yom Kippur service. Hallelujah. Amen. They might be using the same scriptures. We have to use it no other way, because Shuva is about repentance. Repentance, and there is a reason for everything. God is giving us an increments, right? Precept upon precept. Little by little. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 to 14. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfected tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. Moses did everything in the tabernacle that was created on the earth. Not with the blood of the goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, have attained eternal redemption. You know, during the time, the high priest have to go year after year. They sin all through the year. They have to wait for the day of atonement until their sins are forgiven. Wow. If you're a guy like me, I can't wait for an year. That's crazy for me. Right? So they have to wait for the whole year. So year after year, not only the priest have to repent and kill the bull for his own sins, then he is to, you know, kill the goat for the sins of the whole people of Israel. It was happening year after year, year after year. Verse 12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies with the purifying of the flesh, how much more? How much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. Once and for all, Jesus died on the cross. Everything was done, and it was settled in heavens forever. And we don't need to do anything because Jesus has finished the work on the cross. But what is your part? The same scripture finishes like this. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. It's not to live for yourself. It's not to live for yourself to do whatever you want to do and tell my grace is sufficient, grace is sufficient. No. That exploitation, deception. To serve the living God. To serve the living God. Amen. That's the reason God did it for us. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 3 and 4. But in those sacrifices there's a reminder of sins every year. As I told you. For it is not possible that the blood of the bulls and goats could take away sins. It is impossible. So Christ has to come and die on the cross once and for all. He offered his blood, like on the mercy seat in the heavenlies. Amen. So he sat once and for all. That's the reason nobody can condemn you. Nobody can condemn you. Let me read it to Romans chapter 8 verse 34. It's an incredible portion that you need to keep on mind every day. Romans 8:34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also pleads for you continuously. He intercedes for you continuously. Hallelujah. So you don't need to do nothing. He pleads for you continuously. When you sin, instantly God begins to plead. Amen? But that doesn't mean he licenses you to do sin. Right? But you sin. We all sin. We all sin until we die. Because that's a human nature. We all sin. The level of sinning will be decreasing as we grow in the Lord, as the anointing increases. But I have a good news for you. Do you know how God sees you and me? This is mind-boggling. Go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 to 23. It's so amazing. Colossians chapter 1. Whatever I told you, whether it sinked into you or not, please, this scripture, let it sink into you so deep. Your lives will be transformed. You'll never feel 1 second of condemnation for any reason. Amen? Colossians chapter verse 1, 20 to 23. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. You are blameless in his sight. You are blameless in his sight. Because God reconciled you back through his blood sacrifice, through his body on the cross. He has reconciled everything, and God sees you flawless in his sight. Amen. If indeed you are continuing the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature in heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Amen. Let me read it out of the Passion Translation. It really touched me when I read this first time. Close your eyes and just listen to what I'm reading now. Let it sink into your spirits. Even though you were once distant from God, living in the shadows of your evil thoughts and actions, he reconnected you back to himself. He released his supernatural peace to you through the sacrifice of his own body as a sin payment on your behalf, so that you will dwell in his presence. And now there's nothing between you and the Father God, for he sees you as holy, flawless, and restored. Hallelujah. And now there is nothing between you and Father God, for he sees you as the holy, flawless, and restored. And this is the glorious news I preach all over the world. That was the true good news of the kingdom Paul was preaching. It's not the preaching evangelization that we are doing in the church now. He was preaching this gospel of the good news. When you give your life to Jesus, when you truly repent, God is seeing you as flawless. You are fully restored back to God, like Adam was walking with God. You've gone back to the original. You are flawless. You are restored. Now you go with the power and the glory and change others and bring redemption to the whole world. That is the good news of the kingdom that Paul was preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Not the gospel you are preaching now. You better repent and you go to heaven. What are you going to do on earth? You are beat up. Who's going to serve God who's beating you up? Or left you to beat up, you know? So that is the problem in Christianity. Paul was telling God has done everything. Now you don't need to be condemned for anything. Jesus has did it. Now you go with the power of the Holy Spirit and you bring a change in the nations by declaring who your God is. Amen. But the condition is you need to be grounded in faith. That's what we read. Right? The condition is he released his supernatural priest to you through the sacrifice of his own body and sin payment on your behalf. But if indeed you continue, verse 23, if indeed you continue to advance in faith, the diluted Christianity is not allowing us to advance in faith. It's all about heaven. Yes. Don't take me wrong. That is the problem why Christianity is like this. It's all about heaven. They're not talking about advancing in faith. Right? And now, if indeed you continue to advance in faith, assured of a firm foundation to grow up, never shaken from the hope of the gospel that you have believed in. Amen? Because it's not for wimpy people. Right? Christianity is not for... We got to be bold by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason we need the Holy Spirit. Without Holy Spirit, we cannot be bold. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot advance in faith. Hallelujah. Amen? So when I finish this message, I'm going to pray for you all as well. We're going to see what is real repentance according to the Word of God. Amen? That is the biggest problem in Christianity. We got to pray for the Christians to understand what really is. So now as we believers in Yeshua the Messiah, we are amazingly restored back with the relationship with the Father. That's the reason the Bible tells you can take dominion. You can take authority. Why? Because you're restored back. Adam given? The authority. Dominion. The same thing came back through Christ Jesus, because we are seated in heavenly places now. We can take dominion over the earthly things from the spirit now. When you take authority over the spirit in the spirit realm, it'll manifest on the earth realm. But we are doing the opposite. We are trying to take authority on the earth realm, but no results are coming. Let me tell you, everything that we are facing was originated in heaven. The sin originated in heaven, not on earth. Can you believe that? Rebellion started in heaven. Rebellion brought sin. So it was not us who brought sin. But of course, we disobeyed. Amen? As Christians, we need to understand the most important thing for God is not our worship, which is important, not our prayer, which is important. The greatest thing for God is obedience. One disobedience of Eve messed up the whole world for thousands of years. You know, today my left ear is blocked for a month. I've been traveling. Finally, I came home this week. My left ear is blocked. I can't hear what I'm speaking. Why? Because of Eve's disobedience. Sin brought sickness, shame, everything. If she wouldn't have disobeyed, I don't know what we would have been doing. We would have been supernaturally birthed. I don't know the plan. But because of sin, sickness came. I am sick today because of sickness came through sin. Do you understand my point? So what I'm making is, your obedience is very important. That will affect your whole generation. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now we as believers, we are in the right standing. Now it is time to believe for the nation of Israel. Amen? Hallelujah. As I'm telling you, prayers are making difference. And this season is the most important time that we need to press in more for the Jewish people to be saved, because it's a great time of awe in Israel. Everybody, even secular Jews, sometimes even they say, no God. Some of the Jews, they go in fear to synagogue during Yom Kippur. Can you believe that? It's hypocrisy, but they do. Right? Rest of the time, they don't believe in God. But suddenly on Yom Kippur, they go and sit in a synagogue. Because it's Day of Atonement, otherwise you'll be left behind. They will not be in the Book of Life. So this is the most important season in the whole land of Israel that we need to really press in and pray daily, Lord, open their eyes. Open their eyes. Open their eyes. Amen? And I'm telling you, God is opening their eyes, including the Holocaust survivors. Amen? Let's get the video ready, Derek, please. As I told you, I just returned back from Israel. We hosted Holocaust survivors. Do you know Holocaust survivors are dying on a daily basis? You know, we did last time. We gathered Holocaust survivors and we did. And many of them prayed sinner's prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the Lord began to speak to me and my wife to increase the Holocaust survivors gatherings. So we are trying to do every 2 months now. We're trying to do every 2 months. We did it in May. We again did it last month. Amen? So we gathered almost 250 Holocaust survivors, and many of them heard the good news for the first time. And some new immigrants also joined us. They listened to the good news for the first time. Many, many got saved. Hallelujah. Watch this video.
So we are here in Carmel, in Galilee, in River, with Pastor Irene Friedman. It's one of the ministries that we partner. Amazing congregation. They're doing a great job reaching out to the Holocaust survivors and new immigrants. It was such a joy because we just finished the outreach. It was so wonderful to see all these people. Just explain what you do. And by the way, they are a powerhouse. It's not just outreach and just singing, but they are powerhouse healing. Is the dinner bell for the end time harvest. So they are doing it. Amen.
God is good. Shalom. Shalom from Carmel, Israel. We are really excited because many people, a couple hundreds people came together. Holocaust survivors, new immigrants, and other people to hear the good news, to hear about God. Some of them never ever heard the gospel as it is written, never heard that God exists and He loves. So we had a wonderful opportunity to share through songs, poetry, testimonies, the word, to touch the hearts of many, and many called the name of the Lord the first time in their lives.
Hallelujah.
And we're excited to
to
be here and to be witnesses of what God is doing here in Galilee, touching the hearts of His people. I want to thank you all from all Rivers of Living Water Israel congregation for praying, for standing for Israel, for Galilee, because you pray, you stand, you support our people, the ministries here. We can move forward, and to God be the glory. It's the unity between us and
Amen.
You that can touch the hearts and save many souls. God bless you all. Shalom.
Hallelujah. You know, I was talking to a couple there. They just made Aliyah just a week before. 1 week.
1 week before.
They just landed 1 week and they are hearing the good news, gospel, for the first time.
Amen.
Thank you so much for all that you in Israel. May the Lord bless you. And from Sam Duval Ministries, we thank you to the ends of the earth, in India, in Israel, in America, and Australia. Bless you all for standing with Israel. God bless you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So the Lord is moving. Amen. The Lord is moving amazingly. None of the great open door the Lord has given us is to come on television in Israel. Amen. So now, every Monday nights in Israel, 9:30 p.m., we are on television on a major network cable called HOT in the land of Israel. Hallelujah. Can we put that picture, brother? Hallelujah. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we are on television in Israel. And this is a picture sent from my friend in Israel. He saw me on television. He said, you was live here in Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the time that the Jews are coming to the Lord. The program title is called The King is Coming. Think about this. Going into the Jewish homes, proclaiming the King, Yeshua, the Messiah is coming. Hallelujah. So I preach the message like I preached this morning in this television program. It's going into the whole nation of Israel. Hallelujah. Are you excited? What an opportunity. What an opportunity. Hallelujah. But this opportunity, we need your help. We need your prayers. We need your support. We thought that we can do this stuff. We're sitting from Bat Zion, you can send a message into the Jewish home. Amen. Can I tell you the secret? Can I tell you the secret for blessing? When you partner with the assignments of God, the blessings will follow.
Amen.
Amen. That's what it's all about. So meet us in the, talk to Rabbi, come to our table. So if you wanted to pray for us, that's the first thing we need. You know, money can, God can bring from anywhere. But prayer is so important. Your prayers will encourage people to give. Your prayers will encourage the people who are watching to get saved. Hallelujah. So Monday nights, 9:30 p.m. Israel time, they see on the television. And all these messages are in our website. Every Monday night, it's also shown on Angel TV in America, Angel TV in Australia. But you can also receive our emails. Every Mondays, the email comes with the television program. So you can watch right from your mobile phone. And also on our websites and YouTube. Amen. Now I'm going to finish. Let's close our eyes. I'm going to talk about something real quick, and we are going to pray. Rebecca, if you can come back. Thank you. So we are going to pray. Hallelujah, as the worship team, as they do what they are going to do for us to usher in. What is true repentance? Sometimes we don't understand what is true repentance. Let's close our eyes. Just focus on what I'm talking about, and then we'll pray. True repentance is not from emotions, but it springs from the from your will. It's a willful decision. Repentance is. The problem with Christianity is hyped up Christianity. Emotionally you are driven or hyped up through messages and we emotionally repent. That's not biblical. Repentance is from your will. Your heart changed or mind changed. So what is true repentance? As we know, the Bible is written by Greek and Hebrew, so we need to know what is the meaning in Greek and what is the meaning in Hebrew. In Greek, repentance means to change your mind and the way you think. That's what repentance means. Change your mind and the way you think. That is true repentance meaning in Greek. The true repentance meaning in Hebrew, Hebrew is a practical language. How are you going to do it? Turn around from facing one way, 180 degrees, and turn the opposite way. You're turned away from God. Now turn 180 degree, face towards God. Amen? That is what true repentance means in Hebrew. So it's your mind, your heart, your way of living. Everything changes once you repent and give your life to Jesus. When Yeshua comes into your heart, He gives the power, the Holy Spirit gives the anointing to walk with God, to face Him and walk towards Him, not walk away from Him, and to change our mind and our thinking. That is true repentance. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's all stand up. With this in mind, let's ask the Lord. And you do it every day whenever you need. Ask God and think about yourself what you need to change from your thinking. The way you live. It's all about mind and heart. Let's ask forgiveness to the Lord. And then once He's forgiven us, we need to turn around, like the Hebrew says about repentance, and walk towards the promises of God, the plans of God for our lives. He controls our destiny. But Jesus is always there within us. He will never forsake us, never leave us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we can do it. Amen. Let's take a couple of minutes and you and God just pray. Then I'm going to pray over you. Then I'm going to pray for the Holy Spirit baptism of fire, which will help us to follow through. So Father, thank you, Lord. We repent, Father. Our motives, Lord, our actions. Some of the areas, Lord, we have just repented emotionally, but not willfully, Lord. Forgive us, Master. Whatever the area God chose, just take a second and just ask the Lord. God will reveal to you. Some areas we might have emotionally repented, we would not have willfully repented. The Lord is faithful to forgive us as we truly repent, springing out from our will. Thank you, Father. Worship you, Lord. We repent, Master. I repent in so many areas, Lord. I emotionally repented, but now today, I willfully repent, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will repent. I repent, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Repent, Father. Once you're repented, ask forgiveness. And Jesus' Father is ready to forgive us. And God releases His power into our being through His Son Yeshua, so that we will not repeat it. Lord, we repented and we seek forgiveness, Lord, for all those areas we repented. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus. Jesus, thank you that you already paid the penalty for all our sins, transgressions, and iniquities, Lord. Forgive us, Master. We receive you, Yeshua, as our Lord and Savior. Now you are the King of our hearts. Now you are the King of our lives. You are the King of every area of our life, Lord. You're not only the Savior, but you are the King, ruling over every area of our life, Lord. We are humble before you, our King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Cleanse us with your blood. Prepare us to receive your fire, your power this morning, Lord, to live a victorious life. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Father. Let's give a clap offering to him. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. He's a glorious King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the problem with some of us facing trouble in Christianity is faith comes only after repentance. Without repentance, there's no faith. So we go the opposite. You have to have faith, you have to have faith, you have to have faith. It doesn't work because you didn't repent. Repent and the time of refreshing will come upon you. Amen. Amen. And Peter adds, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Hallelujah. Amen. You want to sing a song? We're going to pray for it. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up and raise our hands to heaven. I'm going to pray and finish. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship for a minute. We'll finish in 2 minutes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for each and everyone standing in this place this morning. As we're singing the song, Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit power. Your Holy Spirit power. Yeshua, you are the baptizer of the Holy Ghost and fire. I pray for a fresh fire, Lord. Your fire. Baptize us with your fire, Lord. A fresh anointing for this new season, for this new year, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, a freshing to come upon you, oh God. Father, we pray for infilling your power. Fill us with your power, Lord. Rise us to new life in Yeshua. Hallelujah. Fire in Jesus' mighty name. Fire in the name of Jesus. Receive the baptism of fire. Receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you need Holy Spirit baptism, ask the Lord. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, if you ask me, it is a gift. It is a gift from the Father. It is a gift from the Father. Hallelujah. Baptize us this morning, Lord. Your glory to come upon this congregation. The glory to come upon our lives. The glory to come upon every area of our lives. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's declare one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing with... one more time, let's declare these words. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are your bride, waiting for your coming. And we declare to the whole world, the King is coming. The King is coming. Hallelujah. Texas, get ready. The King is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's give a clap offering to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Pastor Margaret. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.